Okay, so we're coming to the last message, message 4. So please open your outlines to message 4. And the title of this message is The Spirit and the Bride. Okay? And this particular term or expression comes from Revelation 22:17. Mentions the Spirit and the Bride. And before we get into this message, I want to orient you a little bit on these last sections of the Bible. And the first point I'd like to point out is that, in Revelation chapters 21 and 22, there is what we call the bride of prophecy. That's the prophecy of the New Jerusalem as the bride coming down. And this is the consummation of the process of all the process of the divine romance in the Bible. So, but the bride of prophecy ends in 22:5. Okay, so the Bible ends in 22:21. So between chapter verse 5 and verse 21, there's something else there. It's no longer the bride of prophecy. And this verse, 22:17, is in that section. So so the bride in 22:17, the Spirit and the bride here is the bride mentioned in the epistles of Paul. So that brings us to today. It brings us to now, okay? And it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And so this is the prayer of the Holy Spirit and the church. And this is something of the church age. And the come here, they say come. This is the same come as in Matthew 11:28, where the Lord says, come unto me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Okay? This is the come of the gospel. And then also verse 16, which is the verse right before this, it is spoken specifically to the church. And then verse 17 is the reply to that speaking in verse 16. So then one last point is that the water of life in verse 17, okay, this verse talks about the Spirit and the bride. It also talks about the water of life, call to come and drink of the water of life freely. The water of life there is not the water of life in 22:1. Okay, 22:1 is in the section on prophecy. But this water of life speaks of the eternal life which the believers receive, enabling them to be satisfied with Christ and no longer thirst for the world. Okay, so that gives you a little perspective. And Roman numeral 2 of this outline, which is the main section, is on this last section, which is not the bride of prophecy. Okay, then Roman numeral 1. Roman numeral 1, really, the verses here, you can see on that point are 21, 2, and 9. So those are in the section of the bride of prophecy. Okay, so the first Roman numeral says, Christ's deep longing is satisfied in Revelation 21 and 22 with the universal couple, the triune God and the New Jerusalem as his wife, joined together in an eternal marriage. So let me read those two verses for you, Revelation 21, 2 and 9. Verse 2 says, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So this is the beginning of the real marriage that we're talking about. And verse 9 says, this is the angel saying to John, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. So this is what we want to do. We want to come and we want the Lord to show us the bride, the wife of the Lamb also. We can see it right here in these verses. So I would like to use a little illustration, maybe using these five brothers in the front row. Maybe you could stand up, okay? So this is, so I assume, just for illustration, let's assume these brothers are all single. I know that some of them are single, but assume they're all single, okay? It doesn't matter if they're married. But, okay, so this brother here, and I'm drawing from the third point on romance from message one that Daniel gave. He said that romance is a developing matter and that it's something very special. Okay, so this brother, he's not married and he has no prospect yet. But then all of a sudden, you know, his prospect appears before him and something begins to work in him, okay? And something is just stirring up in him, and this person that he's looking at becomes very special to him. Okay, so that was one of the points. The development is until the person becomes very special. Further, this point says that it comes once in a lifetime. So this one that he's looking at is very special to him, and the relationship will develop more and more, and this very special romantic relationship will only happen once. Amen. I want to impress you with that point. That's not the main point of the message, but I want to impress you with that point, that it only happens once. Amen. It's a very special thing, okay? Unique, special, once, okay? And it develops, and eventually they get married. This is a parallel. This is a picture, actually, of what's happening here in Revelation. So, now, this brother's the same, right? No prospects. But eventually, same story. He sees someone, and, you know, something begins to, a romance begins to develop, okay? It begins to develop gradually. And the relationship becomes something so special, extremely special to him. Now, this first brother says, the one that I'm looking at, she's so beautiful to me. And this brother says, oh, this one, to me, she's so beautiful. And the first brother says, but, you know, the one he's looking at is not so beautiful to me. And the second brother says, you know, the one that he is looking at, she's not that beautiful to me. Okay? So, and then, of course, right down the line, you know, they're all the same. But each one of them, so that's good. Thank you, brother. Each one of those brothers has a very special romantic relationship. And in all of these relationships, yes, they are special. And they are one in a lifetime. It's important to have those relationships. But actually, in Revelation, this is the real marriage of the universe. And believe me, this one is very special. This marriage is very special. And so it's not just a once-in-a-lifetime marriage. This eternal marriage is a marriage once for eternity. Amen. It's an eternal marriage. And it is extremely special. And believe me, in the eyes of God, this bride is really beautiful. And she is extremely beautiful. Okay? She's just so attractive. In fact, you know, some of these verses in Song of Songs, I wrote a few of them down. Quite a few times, the bridegroom says, "You are beautiful, my love. You are beautiful." And he says it again in another place. Then he says, "Oh, you are beautiful. To the Lord, this bride is so extremely, universally beautiful." She's really beautiful. And so, you know, we have to realize, of course, we may say to ourselves, I'm not that beautiful. I'm not that special yet, right? But the Lord wants to beautify us. He's beautifying us, you know. And he is actually beautifying us with himself. The bridegroom is beautifying us with himself. You know, he doesn't want to marry something that doesn't match him. So he's doing a marvelous work to impart himself into us and to saturate us with himself. And we may, you know, yesterday Stephen mentioned that when we look at one another, we need to see the Christ in one another. And every one of us has Christ in us, right? We have Christ in our regenerated spirit. He's there. And that Christ is absolutely beautiful. And that Christ wants to saturate our soul, and he wants to beautify our soul. He's actually saturating us with himself. You know, God cannot marry a merely human bride, but he marries a bride that has been, you know, a human bride that has been deified. And you believe me, when he deifies us, we will be absolutely beautiful. And he, you know, he says, he said, "You have ravished my heart. You've ravished my heart with one glance of your eyes." Just imagine how beautiful this bride is. He says, "Turn your eyes away from me." Even God, when he's looking at us, he's going to say, "Turn your eyes away from me," because we are beautiful to God. Don't you want to be ready for that wedding? The universal wedding of the whole universe, right? And we have been chosen. You know, we look at ourselves and say, "I don't think I'm that beautiful," but the Lord would say, like the verses, was it Daniel read those verses in Exodus when they came out in the wilderness, they were turning away from him, and he was talking about the bridal days, you know. So in the Lord's eyes, he chose us, and we're the one. We're the unique, special one of that whole, in the whole universe. So, point, let's see. Amen. So, point A says, the New Jerusalem will be the bride in the millennium for 1,000 years. So, as one day. So that is the wedding day, right? You know, recently my daughter got married, and I know that she and her husband spent a lot of time, for months, getting ready for that one day. You know, it was a lot of time, but this is going to be a wedding for 1,000 years. Can you imagine that? That will be the wedding feast of the universe. We don't want to miss that one, right? That will be 1,000 years of enjoyment. It will be full of joy, right? Because the Lord's deep longing has finally been satisfied. He finally has the counterpart that he's been waiting for. I guess you could say from eternity past, he's been waiting for. This is his eternal purpose, right? Eventually, everything points to that wedding. And so we need to do everything possible to be in that wedding. That is really the unique wedding, you know. The once-in-a-lifetime wedding. Right, there's my wife back there. We have a once-in-a-lifetime wedding. Marriage life, right? But when, eventually, at the end of our life, it'll be over. So, but this wedding will never be over. And the New Jerusalem is the wife in the new heaven and the new earth for eternity. So that's what everything is about. Amen. The brother who shared last week, he said, we should be freaking out about this, right? If we realize we're the ones. You know, I know, like, you know, so, you know, the sisters really want to get married. There's, you know, it's a big thing, you know. And just imagine when you find out that there's a brother who's interested in you, you know, right away. Something starts in you. It just jumps, you know. Everything changes. You know, everything changes, right? Your whole life changes. It's really, you know, but we need to freak out about the fact that God has chosen us, right? To be his bride. And we are destined to be the universal first lady, right? We will be God's wife, the wife of God in this universe. So this is a great thing. And so how about we read, let's read point B together. Since the New Jerusalem will arrive, okay, so in Revelation 1:1, we're told that that all the things in Revelation are signs. And if you want to read the footnotes in, if you read the footnotes of the verses in Romans 1, you'll see all the different signs in the book of Revelation. But one of the signs is the seven golden lampstands, and those seven golden lampstands are actually a sign. It's not; they're not physical lampstands. It's a sign of the seven churches. Okay, and then also there's the seven stars, and these seven stars are the signs of the seven messengers of the churches. Then there's also the Lamb, right? The Lamb on the throne. This is not a physical Lamb, but this is a symbol, sign of the redeeming Christ. So the New Jerusalem here is also not a physical city. This is a mistake that I think a lot of Christians make, is to consider that it is a physical city. But when you read in Revelation 21 and 22 about the New Jerusalem, you have to realize this is us. This is the bride of the Lamb. And amen. So in point C it says, the bride will be composed of all the redeemed, regenerated, and transformed saints, right? We are redeemed. We're all redeemed. We're all regenerated. And we're all being transformed, but we need to be fully transformed and fully prepared to be this bride, okay? That bride is us. That city is us. Revelation 22:12 says that it has 12 gates and it has the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel inscribed on the 12 gates. So that points to the Old Testament saints. And then verse 14 says that the wall of the city has 12 foundations, and on these foundations are the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and they represent the New Testament saints. So this bride of Christ is composed of so many people, right? All the Old Testament and the New Testament believers. Then point D says, this is the ultimate consummation of the divine romance revealed in the Bible. And we won't read those verses because they've been read already a couple times. So the New Jerusalem is the aggregate of all of God's people who have been loving Him. And that's why we're here today. You know, we're here to be prepared to be the bride of Christ. I feel it's quite, you know, quite significant that we are up here this weekend. And it's not a small thing for you to be here, right? The fact that you are here is an indication that the God of the universe wants to prepare you, and He is preparing you. You can be the bride, you know, before eternity for 1,000 years in the New Jerusalem. We have that possibility. Okay, Romans 2. Christ desires to come back for His prepared bride, and we who are preparing for His coming must share in His desire. Okay, this is a key verse, so why don't we open this up and read together. Revelation 22, verse 17. Okay, ready? Go. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. Let him who wills take the water of life freely. Okay. Point A says, and we'll talk more about this in a minute. Point A says, Christ expresses His desire to come for His bride, prepared in Revelation 22, where He warned us three times, I come quickly. So, these three verses, 17, 12, and 20, the first two verses repeats the same phrase, and behold, I come quickly. And then the last verse, verse 20, says, he who testifies these things says, yes, I come quickly. So this word really, it really expresses the deep longing of the Lord. This has actually been his longing from eternity to eternity. He's been waiting for this, for his bride. And at this point, he says three times, you know, this is the husband in love, or the bridegroom in love. He says, I come quickly, you know. Behold, I come quickly. Yes, I come quickly. So then the next verse, or the next point, is it talks about Revelation 22:17, and that is the response. So this word, come, is found three times in Revelation 22:17. How about we read that verse again?
The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. Let him who wills drink the water of life freely.
Okay, so the first occurrence of the word come here refers to the coming back of the Lord Jesus. And point A says, come, in verse 17, is the response of the Spirit and the bride to the Lord's word concerning his coming. So this is, you know, we sing this, the Spirit and the bride say, come, you know, and we say, come, Lord Jesus. We speak this quite a bit, but actually, there's something very particular about this word come, in the first instance, where the Spirit and the bride say, come. And this is the title of the message, keep in mind. Here, okay, in the beginning of the Bible, in Revelation, it says that the Spirit speaks to the churches, right? Quite a few places there it talks about the Spirit speaks. Let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So the Spirit is speaking, but here in this verse, the Spirit and the bride are speaking. So that indicates that even though this is in the church age, but there has been some completion of the bride. And only the completed bride can say this word as it's conveyed here in verse 17. So what does this mean? You know, the Spirit refers to the ultimate consummation of the triune God. You know, this one who has such a longing from eternity, he went through a process, and he was so desirous to get into his bride, to become one with her, okay? This is really his desire, is to become one, not just to marry the bride, but to become one with the bride. And the bride is the ultimate expression of the transformed tripartite man. And when the process triune God manages finally to get into the bride and to sanctify her, to change her, and to beautify her, when he finally manages to get in, oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. This will be the completion of everything that was on his heart. Okay? So we have to be impressed that from eternity to eternity, there is such a heart there. The heart of God is there. He is longing for this. Our God has been longing for this so much. This should impress us. And he's longing to dispense himself into us and to make us one with him so that we could be his proper counterpart. So when the Spirit and the bride say, come, this is a consummating word. So she has been completed, and she realizes that God's desire was to become one with her. And she has become the bride of Christ, and she realizes he has such a longing to come, right? The reason she says come is because She is absolutely one with his desire, right? It's not a light thing to say to the Lord, come, right? The Spirit and the bride say, come. It's not a light thing because it implies that she's really one with him. And she's one with his desire. And she responds right away, right? So by the time of Revelation 22:17, the process triune God and the transformed tripartite man will be one and will speak as one. And so so if we have a sincere desire for the Lord's desire, a sincere desire for the Lord's desire, we will have an earnest expectation for the sinner's salvation. This corresponds to the second part of this verse where it says, he who hears say come, and let him who thirsts come. If we are really one with the Lord's desire, we will also have the desire for the salvation of others, because this bride is not yet completed. You know, the Lord is very interested in us, that he would perfect us, that we would be completed, that we could be one with him. But there are still many others that need to be saved, even some that are not saved today. They need to be saved. And the Lord has a desperate desire for this. So if we're one with his desire, his longing, his deep desire, then we will also be burdened and longing for the salvation of others, right? Why do we long? Why are we so burdened for the salvation of others? Not just because we can say, oh, we got some saved, but because we realize that our God's deep longing could not be satisfied. He says, I come quickly. I want to come, right? He really wants to come back. He really wants to have his prepared bride. What couple doesn't want their wedding to be completed, right? Well, he also wants his wedding to be completed. He's still a bachelor. He's still single, and he wants this completed. So if we are really one with him, if we're really his bride, expressing his interest, then we will also be burdened and longing for the salvation of sinners. Right? This is not just, you know, I mean, sometimes I take the gospel preaching lightly, but we should realize, you know, when we preach the gospel, that we are betrothing these ones to the universal God who wants to be married. Isn't that, that's not a small thing, right? To gain a person, right? To be a part of the bride of Christ. This should be very much in our heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. All the believers who love the Lord's appearing should express such a joint desire. Amen. In the beginning of Revelation, okay, I'll read this. In the beginning of Revelation, the Spirit was the only speaker. But here, the church is no longer merely the receiver of the divine oracle, but she has also become one with a divine speaker. So this is really to enter into his heart. I mean, this is what we've been talking about all weekend. It's just the deep longing of the Lord, right? To have this wedding. And so we really need to become one with the divine speaker, right? What is the divine speaker speaking? He's speaking, come. He's speaking his deep longing. He's speaking, I want my bride. When will my bride be ready? This depends also on us, right? If we really love the Lord, then our tongue will be the pen of a ready writer. And we will speak, right, our love of the Lord to others to bring them into this divine romance. And, you know, this verse says, he who thirsts, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. I was really impressed by that word freely, you know. This is free. This is what the God of the universe is flowing out as a river to drink And it's free. Who wouldn't drink of it? When we drink of the river, it flows into us. And it deposits all the riches of what He is into us. And it beautifies us to such a degree that we become the very counterpart, the match of the God of this universe. Why wouldn't we flow this water out to others that they would also drink? It's free. And there's nothing else but this universal romance. Amen. Okay, point B says, we study the prophecies in the Bible. By studying the prophecies in the Bible and by checking with the world situation today, we know that the day of the Lord's coming is very near. You can read those verses. There's a lot of signs of the Lord's coming. And if you also go on to 24:32, it talks about the branch of the fig tree becoming tender. And this signifies the nation. The fig tree is a symbol of the nation of Israel. So it signifies the nation of Israel, being restored, which it was restored in 1947. So that means, because it was restored, that means that the Lord's coming back is very soon. We have to realize that. And even though He says, I come quickly, and He's waited so many centuries to come back, but we have to realize that the Lord's coming is very soon. So point C says, the entire Bible concludes with the desire of the Lord's coming expressed in a prayer, Come, Lord Jesus. We should love the Lord's appearing and look forward to it with earnest expectation and joy. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, do you love the Lord's appearing?
Yes.
I think I can speak for us all that after this weekend, I want the Lord to come back sooner.
Amen.
Right? We've been romanced this weekend.
Amen.
We didn't realize when we were driving, sitting in traffic, trying to, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Get here. The whole time, the Lord was waiting, eagerly expecting for us to be here so that He can draw us, He could attract us, He can woo us, charm us, win us, right? I was really helped, just to go back a little bit, with our brothers Stephen and Daniel giving a definition of what a romance is. And I think this weekend has flown by because we're in love. We just realized, wow, I am in love. We're going to go down the mountain, go down. Shouldn't be that much traffic this afternoon. And we're just going to be flying because we're in love. So we saw from Genesis all the way this morning, now Revelation, the whole Bible is this divine romance. It's just God giving us a love letter. And isn't it good? Last night we saw we need to read the Logos. We need to receive the Rhema. As we read the Word, He just, let me tell you how much I love you. I love you this much. I love you this much. I love you more. And then we just respond, Lord, I love you. Lord, I really, really love you. The Lord does not desire to be alone. He doesn't. So for that very reason, we're here to see His heart's longing, His good pleasure, His deep longing. And so It's so helpful to see that we need to love the Lord. Actually, I was as we were preparing for this message, I was reminded in Revelation, the first thing that the Lord speaks to the church in Ephesus is what? What did they lose? They lost the first love. Brothers and sisters, may we never lose our love for the Lord. He loves us. I think we're beginning to see how much He loves us, how much He loves and desires the church to be consummated, to be prepared as a bride, adorned, fully matching Him. You know why, as our brother Rob was sharing, why she is so beautiful? It's because she matches Him. All the years that we've been calling on the Lord, we've been coming to His Word, we've been speaking to Him, He's been adding himself, more God, more Christ, more life. And then eventually, we're the same as He is. We match Him. And until that day, He's waiting for that day. And so there's a cry from deep within us. As He's loving us, there's just a response. Lord, don't delay. He says, I come quickly. And our response is, come. And as we cry, come, then others cry, yes, come. You know, for the children of Israel, we have this example, again, as our brother Daniel shared Friday evening. What happened? The children of Israel, actually, in Jeremiah, it speaks of two evils. It says, you have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew out for yourself cisterns, broken cisterns, which hold no water. And so we may have had experiences, or there may be times where we feel like there's something else. There's something else. We don't realize that perhaps in our studies, perhaps in caring for this thing, desiring that thing, we actually are replacing the Lord. We're forsaking the Lord. These are the two evils, that the children of Israel forsake God. That means that God, who desires to be our everything, He loves us so much that He's everything to us. He's our source. He's our supply. He's our enjoyment. He's our satisfaction. But do we forsake Him? Is there something else? Why is it that 5 minutes fly by when I'm on Duolingo? But 5 minutes seems like an eternity sometimes when I'm spending time with the Lord. What do I love? Right? I don't know if you all have this, but I would recommend, I appreciated the Brothers Fellowship for having a personal time with the Lord. I sometimes just set my watch and just put it aside. Set my phone, put it aside. 15 minutes, 20 minutes. That way I'm not bothered at all. Because the Lord desires face-to-face time. So instead of constantly checking, has it been 10 minutes? Oh, it hasn't been 10 minutes. It's still 7 minutes. We should have a relationship with the Lord where the time just flies. Right? So I want to kind of draw a connection from loving the Lord and drinking the Lord. Because this is again the two evils that we have. the children of Israel forsook the Lord, and then they hewed out for themselves broken cisterns. Cisterns were back, you know, in Israel, there's not much water. So they would carve out in rocks places where water can be held. But here, the Lord is saying, or Jehovah is saying, you hew out for yourself cisterns, even broken cisterns that hold no water. So there may be something that, right, you all are seeking a four-year degree, and that is very good. And you should focus, you should strive, like our brother Stephen, get that 4.0. Go. But realize that this will not satisfy you. It won't. Because the only one that can satisfy us is the Lord. The only one that can really give us joy that is eternal, that is unspeakable, is our dear bridegroom. And so that's why in the New Testament we actually have the fulfillment of the Lord calling us again and again to drink. In John 4, we have a Samaritan woman who is not satisfied in life. And she goes to draw water, and there she meets the Lord. And the Lord speaks to her that within him is a fountain of living water. That whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever. So this is the Lord calling, drink, drink, come to me, love me. I'm the fountain of water. Then in John 7:37, the last day of the feast, when we should be satisfied, yet there may be a thirst within, which I don't think is our case this weekend. I think this weekend the Lord has just been watering us, has just been giving us to drink, has just been drawing us, and I don't feel as thirsty because I've been drinking from the speaking. The brothers, as they speak, oh, wow, so refreshing. Then as you all respond, oh, wow, so sweet. Right? We're just drinking. But here in John 7:37, the Lord stood and cried out, if anyone thirsts, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. This is the Lord's cry. He's crying for us. He's longing for us to come to drink. He is this living water. Okay, so what happens when we drink? What happens to us? Out of our innermost being? Shall flow rivers. Okay, so we begin to see now. Follow me. We're going from we need a drink. Then as we drink, there is now rivers within us that are flowing out, right? Because I'm going to take us all the way to Revelation 22:17. So we have this river flowing out. How can we taste this river? How can we enjoy this river? What's an easy way? Let's call with our neighbor. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Okay, so as we're drinking, have you ever had it when there might be a brother that's in your house and you just hear him calling? And as he's calling, oh, Lord Jesus, then there's actually a response within. Yeah. Oh, Lord Jesus. And then someone else, Oh, Lord Jesus. And then before you know it, the whole house, oh, Lord Jesus. If you haven't had this experience, you need to have this experience. Out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. In Isaiah 55, there's a call, ho! Everyone who thirsts, come, come. Okay, brothers and sisters, we have to realize the Lord wants us to come.
Amen.
The Lord is calling us to come.
Amen.
He loves us so much. He gave himself as living water so that we can drink him. We need to come. Come out of everything else. Come, come, drink. Ho, everyone who thirsts. Come without money. And come and drink. You all know that? Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy money, milk without money, without price. Everyone who thirsts, come to the water. This is the call. He's calling to come. This is the same call as Revelation 22:17. This is a call for us, and there's a registration in our being. Yes. Amen, Lord Jesus. I love you. I want to come to you. I want to drink of you. Thank you for all that you are, all that you've accomplished. Oh, Lord Jesus. 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 He's the spiritual drink. He's the spiritual drink that we all can drink. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, they all drank the same spiritual drink. And this drink is Christ. He's all-inclusive. He meets our every need. Don't just drink of him when you're taking your midterm and you forgot what you studied. Drink of him when you wake up. Don't go to your phone. Go to the Lord.
Amen.
Your phone will not satisfy you. You'll grow tired of your phone. The Lord, you'll never grow tired of the Lord. So call on the Lord. Come to the Lord. Because he's waiting. He's ready. So call on the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:13. We were all baptized into one body, and we were all given to drink one spirit. So we realize that our being baptized is the initiation of our lifetime drinking and mingling with the Lord. There was a call last night. The call still remains. Come, be baptized. This baptism is once for all, and this initiates us into the process. Do we want to, brothers and sisters, do you want to be part of that prepared bride? I don't think everyone does. Wake up your neighbor. Just give him a nudge. Wake up! You're not. Okay, I'm trying not to get overly excited. But the day before my marriage, I couldn't sleep because I'm getting married. We should have that feeling. Do we have that feeling? I'm getting married. I'm getting married. Hallelujah. I'm getting married. Don't sleep. Do you want to get married? The Lord wants to get married. So, Lord, we want you to get married. And we want to be that prepared bride. Right? So what do? In 1 Corinthians 12:13, we drink one spirit. We drink. Oh, we can drink. As we drink, then we're continually calling on the Lord. We're continually drawing water. We're being refreshed wherever we are, whatever we're doing. Right now in the meeting, you should be calling on the Lord. Drinking. This really satisfies us. And this satisfies the Lord. Okay, but that's not all. So now we're drinking. Now we're enjoying. But what about my family? What about my friends? I don't know where the sisters are, but I enjoyed the testimony last night. This is a true friend. Whoever came up, this is a true friend. You said, hey, we're going to go drinking. You want to come up to Oakland and drink? Right? This is the real drinking, saints. Forget about everything else. This is the real marriage, right? This is the real drinking. Oh Lord, cover me. We need drinking buddies, right? Again, don't misunderstand. Don't wake up and then hear, we need drinking buddies. Okay, brothers in the back. Okay? We need a call on the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus! Amen. That kind of drinking. Amen. So that's what this is. In Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the bride, you know, the Lord is saying, I come quickly, I come quickly, I come quickly. And our response is, yes, amen. Lord, come. Don't delay, come. Do we have the feeling even right now? The Lord could come. I would be ecstatic. Even more than the day before my marriage. Because He desires to come. Amen. So then within us, there's a response. The Spirit and the bride, come. And then those around us that hear, yes, come. But then there's that thirsty man. There's that thirsty sinner. And we all have friends. We all have classmates. We all have ones that we know. As the Lord is calling us to drink, as the Lord is calling us to come, why wouldn't we call them too? Why wouldn't we call them to come? Come drink. Come taste. Taste and see. Come to the Lord who will never, ever, ever run out. Everything else will. You all have an opportunity, even as you return tomorrow. Hey, what'd you do? I just went to the mountain. What'd you do? We have an opportunity, right? We have opportunities every day. It may be that you speak something. It may be that you just become refreshing to them. How come you just finished a, there's that one sister, she finished a midterm, an econ midterm. She didn't do well. But she was enjoying. I was like, wow, your midterm must have went really well. No, but I enjoy the supply of the Spirit. She was drinking. So we need to have this. We need to have this kind of response. Right? This whole weekend, we've been here loving the Lord, being loved by the Lord. But the Lord, how about this? The Lord may be delaying because He's waiting for your friend. He's waiting for your family member. Why wouldn't we echo the Lord's heart? Right? We saw in message one, love the Lord. Love the Lord. In message three, love the brothers. Right? Be built up together. And message two, too. See the Christ. See the Christ in the brothers. I would say for this one, love man. This is really Christ's deep longing. He not only wants us to love him, for us to love the brothers, but this is the Lord's heart. He loves man. So brothers and sisters, love man. I appreciate one brother, wherever he would go, he would say, Lord Jesus, I love you. He would step on the UCLA campus. Lord Jesus, I love you, and I love everyone on this campus. Can you say that at USC? As you're stepping on, angel. Lord Jesus, this morning I love you, and I love everyone at USC. Why not? Lord, I love you, and I love everyone at Cal State Northridge. This is the Lord's heart. Everyone at Riverside. Any other shout-outs? The Lord loves man. And as we are drawn to love him, then this needs to be our echo. Lord, I love you. He says, I love man. So we say, I love man. Oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come. As the Lord desires to come, our cry is come. Our response is come. And the thirsty one can respond because our love for them also draws them to come. Well, I wasn't able to get through the rest of the outline, but I feel like this is really the burden as Brother Rob and I prepared. This is really our burden that the Spirit and the Bride, the consummation of this divine romance, the conclusion of this weekend, love the Lord. Love the brothers. Love man. May we give ourselves to hasten the Lord's return by loving what he loves. Maybe we can take 30 seconds to pray with our neighbors.